reading to you from the 22nd chapter of Revelation, and with the 7th verse. And behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe, Energy Norma, converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. And then 1 year later, God called me to preach. And, oh, friends, I've tried so hard to be what God wants me to be. I mean to tell you, it's been tough sometimes. Oh, yes, it has. But I'll tell you, if you're gonna follow the Lord, you're going to have trials, you're going to have tribulations, and things are going to come upon you. But, you know, he promises that he would be with us forever, even unto the end of the world. Well, listen, why don't you do me a favor and just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee, and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 6th Psalm, and let's begin reading with the first verse. O Lord, do not rebuke me in thine anger, nor chasten me in thy wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am pining away. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are dismayed, and my soul is greatly dismayed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, rescue my soul. Save me because of thy loving kindness. For there is no mention of thee in death. In Sheol, who will give thee thanks? I am weary with my sighing. Every night I make my bed swim. I dissolve my couch with my tears. My eyes have wasted away with grief. It has become old because of all of my adversaries. Depart from me, all you who do iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath received my supplication. The Lord receive my prayer. I'd label this tonight, Lord, have mercy. This is one of the first penitential psalms in the whole book of Psalms. You know, David had now tasted the bitterness of sin. Now, friends, there's just a lot of us in our lives before we come to know Jesus. We were in a gall of bitterness. We didn't want to live. We didn't want to die. And with me, I used alcohol as my crutch. I know a lot of people today who still think that alcohol will solve their problems. Beloved, they won't. Drugs won't solve your problems. Having extramarital situations not going to solve your problems. Well, David did a terrible, terrible thing. He was winning every battle that he was in. But this particular night, he was lazy, kind of a backslider. And he decided he'd just rest. And he went up on the roof, and when he was up there, he looked and saw this young gal over there bathing. Well, you know the rest of the story. Well, David knew that he'd done wrong, but he didn't know how to take care of it. Friends, listen to me, and listen very carefully. The one thing that I have preached and preached and preached for 51 years, do not live with another woman. Do not live with a man if you're not married. That's a sin. No matter how much you love that person or how much that person loves you, if you're living together without being married, you're living in sin. Now, it's plain and simple. Well, David, he expressed sorrow, humiliation, and the fear of God's wrath. The Bible tells us the beginning of fear is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. You know, I feared God ever since I can remember. Of course, I knew, because my parents were Christian, I knew there was a God. Didn't know him personally, but I knew there was a God. And I did, when I did things wrong, I feared God. And as an alcoholic, I really feared God, because I know the Bible says that no drunkard shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And I knew I was a drunkard or an alcoholic, whatever you want to call it. So I knew I was not going to get to go to heaven. Then I started reasoning within myself. Well, maybe if I got enough good things together, the Lord would let me go to heaven. But my tragic thing there was I didn't have anything good that I could present to the Lord. You know, the only thing that you can do right now to please God is present your sins to the Lord and let Jesus wash them in his precious blood. And then you can have peace and mercy with God. I just wrote to a man in prison, and I shared my testimony. I said, you know, I did the same thing that you did, in and out of jail, getting in fights, miserable, hateful, and I didn't know why I was, but I, deep down in my heart, I knew alcohol was the basis for most of it. Well, after I found Jesus, I said, my life was changed. That's what you need to do. You need to ask the Lord to forgive your sins and to come in your heart. You say, well, Cecil, I can't believe. Well, if you can't believe, you just bow your head right now and say, Lord, help thou mine unbelief. If you really want to believe, you can believe, but you need to ask him. Well, we can all identify with David. Oh, yes, we can. David cries for mercy, and what? He received it. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. In the 9th verse said, the Lord hath heard my supplication. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been desperate and you're praying? And you pray and you pray and you pray, and all of a sudden, you don't think your prayers are getting through. In fact, you know your prayers aren't getting through. But, you know, if that happens, there's something wrong. You say, well, what could it be? Well, it could be, naturally, it could be sin. If you've got unconfessed sin in your life, don't try to gussy up to God until you repent of it, till you confess it. Not to a priest. You go and tell him what you did and ask him to forgive you. And if you really, honestly, truthfully mean it, he'll forgive your sins and give you peace with God. Who obtains mercy from the God? Well, from the Lord. Well, anyone who calls upon him, those who realize they need mercy. He said, receive it. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger. See, David doesn't deny his sinfulness, does he? No, he doesn't. He confesses his sin, and he admits he is worthy of rebuke and chastening. Chastening's not easy, but, you know, God chastens all of his children is because he loves us, not because he hates us. Conviction of sin is the first evidence of need, if we're willing to tell him about it. You know, it's not easy. Now here, you're all by yourself, just you and the Lord, and you're praying, and you did something that was wrong and sinful. You know, sometimes it's hard to tell him. Sure is. It's hard to tell him. But if you have the courage and you want peace with God, then you tell him what you did and ask him to forgive you. And he said in 1 John that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sin. David's soul was so troubled, he wept all night over his sin. You know, in prison, I asked those men and those women, I'll say, have you ever went back to your bunk at night? They turned the lights out. And you're laying there in that bunk. And all of a sudden, the tears just come to your eyes. You say, oh God, what did made me do what I did? Why am I here? And everybody raised their hands. Oh, yes, everybody's done that. See, when the soul is troubled, This is agony. We are all guilty before God. It says, for we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every blessed one of us. Well, now you've heard me say that my wife did not think she was a sinner. And she really didn't. But she was. And see, you know what really got to her? I'll tell you what, and it's true. She'll tell you this herself. I left the home drunk out of my mind about 2 o'clock in the morning. I came home about 6:30 or 7, sober as a judge in my right mind. And I started to go into church, and I got baptized, and I started reading my Bible, and I couldn't believe what had happened to me, and she watched me. Boy, did she watch me. If I was 5 minutes late from work, my wife started pacing the floor because she thought, well, he's out drinking. This was just a joke. That's what my drinking friends told her. Said, Cecil, just playing a game with you. He'll be back drinking with us. And she said, no, there's a difference in this boy. No, he's not going back to drinking. To God be the glory. And you know, friends, you say, well, Cecil, do you take credit? Oh, absolutely not. Oh, absolutely not. I give Jesus the credit, the praise and the glory for what happened to me. Have you ever faced your guilt and just thought about yourself? Well, I've done this, I've done that. None of us are perfect. Oh, I know there are those self-righteous bigots that tell you that they're sinless. And of course, the Bible said if you say that, you're a liar and the truth isn't in you. There is no perfect person on this earth. Jesus was the only perfect one on earth. He didn't sin. Oh, was he tempted? I hope to kiss a pig he was tempted. Tempted just as much as you and I. But he yielded not. And if he had yielded, he could not have been our Savior. Well, do you realize you need God's mercy? Oh, I hope you do tonight. Those who remembered that mercy is available. It says, receive in second, be gracious to me, O Lord, I am pining away, and my soul is greatly dismayed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Listen, the Lord is great in mercy. And he says, save me for thy mercy's sake. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, his mercy endureth how long? Forever and forever. Just like eternity is time without end. And in Micah, he tells us he delighteth in mercy. It makes God happy to give mercy to you and I. The Bible tells us God who is rich in mercy, and he is. You know, the mercy seat in the tabernacle revealed God's mercy. The mercy seat was sprinkled with blood. Now, mercy flows from the cross where Jesus died. Now, you know, the Bible said, for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. A lot of preachers say, I don't like that bloody religion. Well, of course, they haven't found the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That is royal blood. Oh, my stars. Why would anyone want to die for you and me? We're unworthy. Oh, yes, we are. And that's why the word grace comes in. And I don't understand it. I've been preaching and I've been a Christian for 51 years. And I don't understand that word grace. It says it is God's unmerited love. We did not deserve it. But when we repent of our sins and call upon the Lord, he gives it to us. You know what, friends? Salvation is free. Now, I know there are those who think they got to work for it. Well, now, I know you will never make it if you're just trying to work for salvation. Ephesians 2:18, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not yourself. It is a gift, a free gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, there are those who believe they can buy their way in. Remember the rich young ruler? He came to Jesus. What do I have to do to gain eternal life? And Jesus said, go out and do this and that. And well, he said, I've done that from the beginning. He said, all right, you go sell what you got and give to the poor and come follow me. And the young man walked away real sad because he had much money. What a shame. See, he really figured he could buy his way in. Well, you remember the rich man and Lazarus? Now, the rich man, I don't see in there anywhere in the Bible where the rich man was a terrible person. No, I don't. But what happened, he never took time for Jesus. Yet that was his only sin, that sin of unbelief. Hey, that's the greatest sin you can commit today, the sin of unbelief, not believing God. That's what happened to Adam and Eve. She doubted what God had told her, and Satan told her, well, you just take this fruit and you'll be okay. Well, the devil lied, and he's a liar now. He's a liar now, and from now on, he's a liar. But the day will come when he shall be kicked into the bottomless pit. Now, listen, those who request mercy receive it. That's right. He said, have mercy on me, O Lord. Hey, listen, folks. You remember the publican's prayer? The publican then went into to pray. And this Pharisee, oh, he was one of these self-righteous bigots. Boy, he began to tell God what he had done in his life. He was a tither. He was this. He was that. He prayed. And he was so glad that he wasn't like that poor little publican standing over there. He hated publicans, and he was in love with himself. But you know what the little publican did? He smote his breast, and he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, this man went away justified because he had confessed. Oh, listen. The great invitation to salvation is a call to receive mercy. You know what it says in Romans 10:9? That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And with the heart, man believes, resulting in righteousness. With the mouth, he confesses, resulting in salvation. That's it. With your mouth. You know, I asked my sister-in-law one time if she was a Christian. And that's a dumb way to do it. Everybody says they're Christians. Even if they use the Lord's name, they're Christians. Ask them if they have been born again. Because really, folks, that's what it boils down. If you've been born again, you're born into the family of God. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Well, God invites us to salvation and is a call to receive mercy. See, God grants mercy and merit to sinners who request it if you ask him. Isn't this strange? All you got to do is ask him. Listen to this. Are you weak and sinful enough to need mercy? See, God's mercy is extended to those who don't deserve it. Oh, friends, listen to me. We do not deserve heaven. We honestly don't. We were born with the Adamic nature, the nature to sin against God. That's what sin is, rebelling against God. Well, this week, one knew his own sins too well to think of merit or appeal to anything but the grace of God. God's grace makes one strong. I'm going to ask you, friends, tonight. You say, Cecil, look, I've listened to you for a long time, and you're always yapping about being born again and letting Jesus come into your heart. And I go to church. I've been going to church since I was a little boy. I go to Sunday school. I go to prayer meeting. I ask the blessing at the table. But I don't have any assurance. I have no peace. That's because you have not been born again. It's as simple as that, my friend. When you're willing to confess that you're a sinner, and the Bible said we've all sinned, and ask him with a repentant heart to come in and to save you, he will give you a new life. Now, I've had prisoners tell me, Cecil, I've prayed that sinner's prayer eon times and never changed my life. Well, he hasn't found it yet. When you find salvation, when salvation comes into your heart and your name written in the Lamb Book of Life, God gives you the blessed assurance. Now, you might have a stomach ache, but and I might look at you, but I can't tell you have a stomach ache, but you know you have it. I can't look you in the eye and say you're not saved. But the Spirit of the living God will tell you whether you're saved and whether you've been born again. See, the thing is, peace cannot be purchased with any cost. Cannot be purchased. And when Jesus hung on that cross, he himself was absolutely sinless. He didn't have a sin on him. But because of his great love for you and I, he took our sins upon him and became sin that he might pay for your sins and mine. When your sins are paid for, it says paid in full. Your debt has been paid and God is satisfied. And from now on, everything that happens to you is under the blood, under the precious blood of Jesus. He's our advocate. He stands up for us. He's standing at the right hand of the Father right now, pleading your case. And you know what he's doing right now if you're not saved? He's got outstretched arms saying, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden. I'll give you peace. I'll give you rest. Hey, listen, friends, aren't you kind of tired of your wasted life? Aren't you kind of tired of being tired? And sometimes you lay down at night and you think, God in mercy, what's wrong with me? Why do I do these things? Boy, I used to say that when I was drinking. I'd say, oh, God, please help me with this problem. You know, he'd have gave me the answer right there, but I wasn't willing to surrender my heart to him. When I come to the place when I was willing to surrender my heart to him, then and then only was I delivered from alcoholism and was born again. Tonight you say, Cecil, I'd like to trust Jesus. I really honestly would. Well, listen, I want to lead you in a sinner's prayer, but beloved, please don't pray this prayer unless you mean it. And this is how it goes. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm sorry for the things I've done to you and against my family and loved ones. And tonight, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Beloved, if you prayed that prayer, I'd like to have you get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. And I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. Friend, I don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. If you feel I can help you spiritually, won't you give me a call? Oh, I wish you would. 303-471-8534.
Power.
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host is Evangelist Cecil Bulk. I do hope something was said tonight that would spark a little belief in your heart. Oh, friends, Jesus is your only hope. You won't get there any other way but by Jesus. Church membership, baptism, all those are important, but they'll not get you into heaven. You must be born again. Well, friends, be sure and pray for me and my wife and my quartet as we go to prisons. Pray for my health. I get on my little scooter and I put my little oxygen bottle in there and away we go. Oh, friends, I'd rather tell those men and women about Jesus than I would eat. I like to eat. Well, until this time next week, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus coming soon. Good night and may God bless you real, real good.